How can Alex Golish's SEC Media Day comments translate to Auburn basketball? Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are still in the midst of talking season with the end of July coming up. And with that was SEC Football Media Days, and Auburn football coach Alex Golish made some comments that I thought were interesting and I thought could actually translate pretty well to a basketball discussion and how we look at this basketball team going into the upcoming season. And it's something we've discussed a little bit over the past month or so, but I think there's a very specific, the way Coach Golish described it is what we're going to get into, and why it relates to Auburn basketball and going into second year under head coach Stephen Pearl. Make sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network on YouTube. Hit that like button as well while you're at it. And then go over to your podcast platform of choice. Subscribe over there and make sure you can take the Barn Podcast Network anywhere you go with you and listen to the show in audio form. We obviously have so much coverage this week of SEC Media Days, whether that's related to Auburn or the other coaches and players that have gone up to speak down in Tampa. But that coverage will obviously continue into fall camp and into the football season and then into Auburn basketball season, which is what we're here to discuss. And like I said, it was one comment in particular that Alex Golish made that got the wheels turning for me for basketball and how what he said does translate to the hardwood and specifically with this team. And this floated around a little bit, but it's not what I'm really getting into. But the biggest question I've gotten as I've gone through this journey the last 7 months is, what's a successful year one look like? How do you gauge it? What are your goals? I don't really have any goals other than laying a foundation for what Auburn football is going to be for years to come. That starts with building an identity. And he would go on to emphasize how Auburn has always been one of the premier football programs in the country because of it being the most physical, violent, and prepared team on the field every single game. And that's something that this program hasn't been over the last five seasons, over the previous regimes. And that's what his goal is to get back to doing with himself, defensive coordinator DJ Durkin, offensive coordinator Joel Gordon, new quarterback Byron Brown, Xavier Atkins anchoring on the defensive side, and so many other guys that are going to really, really be important this season in laying that foundation. And it's a similar but different spot than Stephen Pearl was in last year, where Auburn football hasn't made a bowl game since the 2020 season, the COVID year. That was the last time the Tigers had a winning season. Whereas Auburn basketball in Stephen Pearl's first season was coming off a Final Four. And in a season, it was the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Had home court advantage pretty much throughout that tournament. So the expectations were a little bit higher than I think many will have for Auburn football this year. Of course, the fan base has its expectations, but from the outside looking in, there's going to be, it's quite a different feel about it. And the other comment he made was, it led into this of how culture's an overused word. And while I think that there's an important factor of that, I think that relates very well to Auburn basketball. In the sense that, okay, well, yeah, Bruce Pearl left about a year ago, and it was Stephen that took over. But the key nobody on the staff left. Everyone has remained throughout this journey. Stephen Pearl obviously elevated to the head coaching role. And then he elevates Ira Bowman to associate head coach. Ira's been a part of this staff for several years now. Corey Williams, Mike Burgermaster, assistant coaches, with Burgo leading the offensive side of the basketball. And Ian Borders, who's been around for quite some time now, he became an assistant coach along with Matt Gatens, who was hired as a general manager, then was able to be moved into that on court role. And Coach Gatens has been at Auburn before. So all of those guys, the culture that Bruce built alongside them, it wasn't just Bruce that built it. He obviously led it, but all six of those coaches, along with, I'm just going to list off the rest of the support staff that's been there for so much time. Maddox Jeffries, director of basketball operations. Damon Davis, he's the director of sports performance. Marquise Daniels, he's been there for a while. Those are three guys that have been a part of it enough that, hey, look, they know what the culture's like. And there's no reason to necessarily change that. And last year was an interesting one with the whole turnover of the roster and everything. And certainly, I'm sure it's changed some. I mean, I'm not in the building every single day to see how practice goes or to even have a point of reference of that or what a typical game day looks like or anything like that and how these guys interact, how these guys build that camaraderie and get to know each other and learn how, one, they just interact as a human being, but also as a basketball player. So I think from that aspect, there's no reason to discuss the culture of this program or this team. It's probably going to be, it's pretty dang similar to what it's been for the last decade. And that brings me to, okay, what is that identity? A little over a month ago, we really dove deep into the defensive identity and why Stephen Pearl, over all of his years of coaching at Auburn, that's been the primary focus. You go look at the history. We're not going to dive too much in this, but you can see the trends. I'm looking at KenPom, where last year, the adjusted defensive efficiency was 109th in the nation, compared to 9th in 25, 6th in 24, 33rd was a down year in 23, 9th in 22, 55th in 20, 36th in 19. So that's the thing. The bottoming out was 2020 when that season got cut short. But then last year happened where you finished 109th while the offense continues to execute at an elite level. 11th in adjusted offensive efficiency compared to 3rd in 25 and 10th in 24. I won't go through the rest of them because, again, the offense has found its groove with Mike Burgermaster leading the charge there as the offensive coordinator. And the key is, how do the offense and the defense match up? Well, like I said, when Coach Gulish discussed this at the podium in Tampa, SEC Media Days, he was talking about physicality, violence, and preparation. Those were the three buzzwords that he really, really, really hung his hat on this week in Tampa. And quite frankly, I think we're going to get something similar when Stephen Pearl goes to Birmingham for SEC tip-off. That'll be mid-October or so. And speaks to the media there. Hey, look, like the question is going to be, all right, how do you elevate this program from year one winning the NIT? How do you get this program back to the NCAA tournament, competing for SEC championships and national championships? And I think the first thing that he's going to want to discuss, as I mentioned, is going to be defense and hustle and everything that goes into that and the rest of his staff and how they've develop these guys throughout the offseason. You've got the two returnees, and that's something that Coach Pearl mentioned at the beginning of the month. It was at the ambush event at Lake Martin, and really, he wants Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton, the two key returnees. Obviously, they're returning alongside Simon Walker and Blake Michalik, but we know what Tahad and KO are capable of. And they are going to have to really be one of the best front courts or back courts in the SEC for the Tigers to compete this upcoming season. So what Coach Pearl said, those guys understand what we're doing. You see a different level of maturity up to this point with those two, which is something I would like them to continue to build off of because it's their team. They've got to make this what they want it to be. The best teams we've ever had have been player-led teams. We as coaches can only do so much. The guys that do it internally, that's when you have something special. That's one thing those guys really have to take the reins on this year. They have to be intentional about their leadership, how they handle themselves, the habits they bring to practice every day, and their attitudes. All those things have been good so far. Looking to see them continue to do that. You can see Tahad and KO trying to really grasp on that leadership role that we've really been pushing them toward this summer. Our guys respect them to a point where they're listening and they're taking some of the comments, criticisms, and some of the things they're trying to help me implement this summer. It's been good. That's high praise for those guys. And I don't think it's this blind optimism or anything like that. I think the reason Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton decided to return to Auburn, reminder that, one, Tahad could obviously have tested the waters and gone to the portal and gotten all kinds of offers from schools around the nation because of how talented he is. He never even entered the transfer portal. Kevin Overton, same deal, but also he's never stayed at a school for more than one season. I think that tells you what those discussions were like. I cannot imagine there was not a point between that NIT championship and the time that those two guys announced they were returning that it wasn't Stephen Pearl, KO, and Tahad sitting down in a room and discussing why it's important for them to come back, what they can accomplish, and really, again, how they can establish that identity that I'm just mentioning is, all right, what is that going to be? And they're not going to be the guys that necessarily bring back that defensive stalwart level of defense that Stephen Pearl is used to coaching. We know that. We know that Tahad Pettiford has his shortcomings because of his size, and he's a point guard scoring first. And KO, he can definitely develop a little bit more in that aspect. But for them to hustle, for them to show leadership, for them to show up every day on time and be the guys that are really, I think, being vocal, most importantly, about the culture that all the new guys aren't quite familiar with, that they're going to have to really ingrain themselves in and involve themselves in. That's most important before you get to playing any games and the ball gets tipped off that first week of November. So I don't know. I think that if your identity is reliant on Tahad and KO being the leaders that I think we feel pretty confident in them being, because we saw what that NIT championship run was all about. It was about those two guys playing their absolute tails off and not wanting to lose. If that can carry over into this upcoming season, then that can lead to quite a bit more success than we saw last year. So yes, of course, the identity we're going to want to see are guys like Narcisse Ngoy, Buki Oboye, Owen Freeman commanding the paint and being incredible athletes on the defensive side. But that all starts in the backcourt with Tahan and KO letting the game flow free. And on the offensive end, being willing to make the extra pass. That's a comment that Kevin has made over the last couple of weeks as the media has been able to get out to practice and speak with these guys and talk to them. And I don't know. I just, that, like I said, what Coach Golish said really stuck with me and got my mind thinking about basketball and the aspect of, like, yeah, the culture of this program is what it has been over the last decade. That's not going to change because one guy leaves. It would change if there was a mass exodus of the staff, but there wasn't. It was Bruce leaving and everyone else stuck around. And that's for a reason. That's because of the culture that this program has. But that being said, the identity is what I think Auburn was missing this past season. And if Pettiford and Overton are ready to take the reins and move forward with that, then that can be something that's found once again, and Auburn can go back to competing for championships with that identity. Quite frankly, like I said, the hustle, the hey, I'm diving for loose balls and doing everything that I can do to win. That's something that was on display on social media yesterday when Auburn basketball tweeted that it had more practice clips to post and get out in the world. And really, it was similar to what we saw in the first round that went out a couple weeks ago, and we discussed and whatnot. I mean, some of the big plays were guys like Buki Oboye shooting threes. That's happening again in these clips. And Narcisse Ngoi just being the brick wall that he is. And his size is really emphasized in these clips when he's guarding a guy like Oboye. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to see much of Owen Freeman. He's been sitting out as a precautionary injury. They don't want to work him too hard at this point. He's dealing with the foot injury, so hoping to see him back in time for the Tigers going to Greece actually next month. There have not been a ton of details released about that, but it'll be really interesting to see what is in store for Auburn when it goes overseas and has that international tour and gets to play games in August. And hopefully Owen Freeman will be ready for that and going. But it was a play from Thomas Dowd that was really, really impressive. So he takes it up the floor. He dishes it out to Blake McShalik. McShalik misses a three-pointer. Dowd flies in from the right wing and, I mean, just finds a way to get a rebound in between three different guys. Takes it out to the corner, hits Simon Walker, who misses a three, and Dowd gets another rebound, takes it out of the corner, and you can see him smiling. He gets back out to KO and resets the offense. That's the identity this team needs, is to really scrap it out and get the ball to your playmakers. Because, again, with Tahad and KO, George Kimball III, he can light it up as well from three. And a guy like Thomas Dowd, from what we've seen of him at Troy, we know that he can also light it up, whether that's on the boards, like I mentioned in this clip, or even shooting the basketball. That's going to be very important. Like I said, continue scrolling through. Ngoi is just a monster. And I think that's so good to see after last year that interior presence is going to be there for Auburn. And it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be big. I mean, I think he weighed in at like 280. That's what he's listed at on the roster. I'll double check that. But I mean, he has a ton of size. Yeah. 7'0", 280 pounds. That's just awesome. Buki Oboye, 7'1", 230 pounds. Montez Roustavicius, 6'6", 215 pounds. Thomas Dowd, 6'8", 235 pounds. Like, this team's big. And then Owen Freeman, 6'10", 245 pounds. He's going to be able to be a little more agile at that size. That's exciting. It's really exciting. So continuing to go through some of the clips, Caleb Williams, man, he's, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and act like that he's going to be this large contributor as a freshman, but I really am excited to see him in action, especially in non-conference play when he'll get those chances against some of those mid-majors, so in some of those bye games especially. But I think he could develop into something really special at some point. Adam Olson, I think he's going to be a spark plug off the bench and able to shoot the ball as he did at South Alabama at an elite rate. So, yeah, go at Auburn Men's Basketball on Twitter, Instagram. I think it's on Instagram. It might not be yet. But if it's not, definitely on Twitter and X. Go check out those clips because it really shows, again, going back to the identity discussion, it shows the hustle. It shows the pace that Auburn's going to want to play at this year. And I think that's kind of going to be hard. Interestingly, there's a lot of hustle. There's a lot of pace, but those don't go all that hand in hand. I think I'm talking about hustle, going for a loose ball and really putting your body on the line versus pace of, all right, get the ball into Todd Pettiford or Kevin Overton's hands. Let them find the open lane, find the open shooter, find the open cutting big man, and find those baskets in that way. And who knows, it might be them that the shot's open for. So that's what I'm excited to see. And I think we'll hear more about in practice. And then when do we get to SEC tip-off in October of what Stephen Pearl, and I would have to guess that the two that we brought along with them will be Todd Pettiford and Kevin Overton. Maybe they'll bring one of the newcomers, but I think at least one of those two will be alongside him speaking to the media, getting ready for this upcoming season. So excited to bring all that coverage to you right here on the Barn Hoots podcast. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcast, because like I said, you don't want to miss it. And that's the best way to find it. Hit that subscribe button, hit the bell. You'll get the notification when a show premieres or goes live, and we'll have all that coverage for you throughout the summer and into the season. And again, it's not just Auburn basketball content, so much going on with Auburn football. Some of the recruiting has slowed down, but again, getting past SEC Media Days, that's like the unofficial kickoff to the season. They're going to be practicing in like 2 weeks, I think, getting ready for the season opener against Baylor on September 5th. So you don't want to miss any of the content. So again, what do you think the identity of this team needs to look like this upcoming season with a lot of newcomers, but the two key returnees in Todd Pettiford and Kevin Overton, can they be the ones that really lead the charge in establishing that identity? Is that the most important part of this upcoming season? Is it finding the defensive presence again? Let me know in the comments, and we'll talk about it coming up in just a few weeks. So once again, thank you for tuning into this edition of the Barn Hoots podcast.